Does Kieran Brogan, says a listener, actually think the public believes him? We're very disappointed in this decision. I'm confident that neither Donald Mandy Kelly or Kieran Brogan were notified the tree was going to be cut down last night. I'm very confident of that. Another, it's a pity the councillors didn't think it was wiser to cut down the trees following the storm, especially when a young man was killed during Storm Owen. Yeah, okay. Greg, I'm on the Kilmacrenan Road this morning. There's a cycle taking place. Every cyclist is on the main road with support cars behind them, while a cycle lane sits empty. So what is the point to them? I think really, for the most part, we're going to have to sort of accept that cyclists on racing bikes, effectively, in their tight gear, aren't going to use cycle lanes on those bikes. The wheels are incredibly narrow, and I think it's just not going to happen. There'll be the same problem come the active travel plans with the Circular Road and Ballyrain Road. A lot of trees there to be cut down to add cycle lanes that won't be used anyway. Niall on YouTube says, "Hi Greg, good morning. Do you know how many trees will be cut down when the new bridge over the Swilly will be built?" Interesting. Might be a different feeling with that one, because, you know, essential infrastructure, and then maybe people who are passionate about trees will be less passionate. I don't know. There'll always be people who don't like nature moved out the way for development. But there you go. Interesting question, Alan. I think I can get where you're going with it. Hi, Greg. Can you or your listeners tell me how many bicycle people use bike lane? As far as I know, none use them. They're cutting good trees down for nothing. Greg, I'm disgusted that the Ballyrain oak tree was cut down. And yes, I get your point about less traffic at night, but usually they'd be setting up in daylight. That comes in from Rosaline Connolly Boyce. Rosaline, I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm not stating it as fact. I'm just trying to, you know yourself, play devil's advocate there. Caroline, have you given me something? Just in case it's my fault. Greg, I'm disgusted. A caller says, "Don't apologise for the council, please, Greg. They don't care about public opinion on any matter. They act like the people are the enemy. A colonial attitude, which means gatekeepers on reception and no accountability. They granted planning permission for a wind farm on a bog in a special area of conservation at Mass, where three turbines have since fallen. They were warned, but once again, they ignored people. There is no trees in this county with a TPO on them until this happens. There will be no protections for trees, and that tree's not 90 years old. A TPO, what is a TPO? Protection order? Is that it? I'm guessing. Get the person in the council on to explain why they decided to cut down the oak tree, Greg. Let me see. Greg Hughes, I'm surprised by your comments regarding cutting the tree down at night time. I think you're very one-sided, dismissing Mary T like that. Well, AIM2 supporters can be quite sensitive. I am literally saying and having a conversation to say, is that possibly a reason why? I haven't got the official statement from the council, but I'm not stating that as fact. I'm simply asking, maybe that was part of the reason why. I don't know. Only a few days ago, I read that there is up to 20,000 fine for persons who cut an oak tree in their own property in the UK. In Donegal, level an age-old tree, shame on them. Hi, Greg. I can tell you in other countries, they value their architecture and trees. Nothing is preserved in Ireland. Look what we did to the railways. Hi, Greg. It's an absolute disgrace. The oak tree had to be cut down, says another. It was cut in the middle of the night, which just shows it was wrong. Why do we need more cycle lanes? They're not and will not be used. The county council should be ashamed. They're destroying our lovely towns. Greg, you're going to find it very hard this morning to find a listener to come on in support of the felling of this beautiful tree in the middle of the night. The crowd that cut it down in the middle of the night, they definitely knew it was wrong when they had to carry out this in darkness. Yeah, indeed, and I get that. And I'm not a big fan of the tree being cut down, because I kind of get a sense others aren't. Let's say hello to Molly Callahan. Are you there, Molly?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, and I was really intrigued by this suggestion, because, you know, you're a young person, young, intelligent person out there, and yet you also are struggling, as it probably will learn many people are, and that's to make, you know, connections with your peers. So talk to me about the message you've put out there.
So basically, I've kind of always struggled to make girlfriends. And I didn't realise how common it actually was for other girls to make friends. And I always seen that they made like groups and stuff in like Dublin and Belfast, and I never seen kind of anyone in Donegal do it. So I posted a TikTok there the start of last year, or the end of last year, the start of this year, and the amount of people that commented, but unfortunately there was not very many from Donegal. So then I posted again to just say, you know, like even young mums and stuff, as I know kind of like my sisters and stuff find it very lonely, like to make friends and stuff, especially like young mums. So I thought it's very important, especially for mental health and stuff, to make friends kind of in their early 20s, especially mothers, young mums and stuff as well.
And Molly, why do you think it is difficult? I suppose people move around a bit, and if you move away maybe for 5 or 6 years, maybe you lose contact with school friends, or maybe you move into another area. Is that why people might find it difficult to make friends?
I'm not sure. I was always kind of like in school as well. I was kind of always just backwards. to say the least, I was kind of just like, you know, I don't want to put myself out there.
Yeah.
But then whenever I left school, I was like, God, I wish I made some friends in school. And then in college, I kind of made a few more friends, but we kind of lost touch. So then I started like posting on TikTok, and the amount of girls that text me, and especially like because I struggle with anxiety, like a lot of girls do, with anxiety and depression and whatever. Like, it's just so important that girls have their girls.
And do you feel that really then with that, you know, maybe in a new group or in a, you know, an out there sort of social setting, people don't really get to see the real you and maybe get a wrong impression of you, and maybe doing it this more modern way is a way sort of everyone to get to know each other and feel a bit comfortable with people, so that, you know, you can back and forward on text for a bit, and when you have that first interaction face to face, you kind of feel like you know the person.
Oh, 100%. People get the wrong impression of me, 100%. But I'm completely different once you actually get to know me. But I did, I made a group chat on WhatsApp for girls that kind of feel the same way. And I'm planning to like organise a coffee and a walk. And young mums and babies is more than welcome to come. It's kind of just getting everybody to kind of get to know each other first. I think it's so important as well. It's just, yeah.
It's kind of something new as well. What's been the uptake like, Molly? You know, I mean, obviously we're talking today, and I'm sure you'd welcome more young women into the group. But has the, you know, are we maybe even reluctant at this stage to take that step into a WhatsApp group to sort of get to know people?
No, not really, because okay, the amount of people that did text me and was like, hi, I'm feeling the same way, can you add me to this group chat? So the amount of people already is mental. Like, it's like I can't believe how many people feel the same as me. It's overwhelming to say the least. Like, my phone's been steady going.
Yeah, that's great. And in a way too, that is bringing you out of yourself, I'm sure. What did your boss say to you once?
My boss kind of, he was just like, let people see the real you.
Mm.
He was like, because you're putting on this kind of like mask and people aren't actually seeing the real you. And I kind of thought to myself, I was like, he's right. And I opened up, and the amount of people and friends that I made from just coming in to my workplace was mental.
Do you think beforehand people thought you were a bit, you know, up yourself or something? What vibes do you think you were given off before people knew you? I'm just saying, asking in case it helps other people.
Yeah, a lot of people would probably think that I'm ignorant and snobby, but
it's funny. I've kind of gone on this journey myself a wee bit too, Molly. You know, I think. When I'd be walking around, I'd just keep my eyes directly in front of me. I don't know why I did. I mean, I would have a bit of anxiety and stuff as well. And, you know, people would have been surprised, maybe if they know me now, that I was very quiet and introvert and into myself. And it wasn't because that was my personality. It was kind of it was a protection. It was a defense mechanism. And the funny thing is I was hyper-conscious of what other people might think of me, but I just battered on anyway. And then, you know, meeting certain people in my life and stuff kind of helps to bring you out of yourself a little bit. Aisling and others, you know. Is that the way it was for you? Were you kind of protecting yourself, do you think? Or do you be protecting yourself before you sort of were a bit more out open and talkative?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I was very, very kind of self-conscious of what everybody thought of me.
Mm. And then you realise no one's actually thinking about you at all, but you have to get much older than your age before you realise that no one cares. Not in a bad way, but, you know, everyone's got their own stuff going on. And one other thing, like, I mean, obviously you've spent your entire life with the internet. Now, there's many people listening haven't. You've spent your entire life with most of the apps that are around now, and I'm sure you started on some that are defunct. Do you think with your modern young people, Molly, that that has sort of added to the problem of how we mix face-to-face?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Definitely. Social media has its pros and cons, definitely. I think that it can be a blessing and a curse.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And that's it. And it's us figuring out what works best for us. So, as I say at the moment, you're in your 20s, so you're looking for people in and around your 20s, girls who are from Donegal or Derry, especially young mums who feel alone. That's, I hope you understand the importance of that, Molly, in that, and maybe it's been related to you in messages, but there are people that have joined that group that this is like a lifeline to them, that they sort of feel completely isolated and they're on their own. Maybe they're away from families. Maybe the only person they see is their partner. And this could really be life-changing for them. Do you get, I hope you understand the importance of what you're doing.
Yeah, 100%. As I said at the start there, I struggled big time last year because I didn't really have any, like, I didn't have any friends, to be fair. But I'm so happy that I did post that TikTok, and the amount of girls and stuff that did text me is crazy. Like, and I do want to try and do, like, kind of events, kind of like maybe going for coffee or a walk or going for dinner. It's kind of just like seeing over time. So I think it's so important to get the message out there as well, so like you're not alone. And it's like, mental health's very, very important to me. So if you struggle with like mental health, anxiety, depression, anything, just, you know, give me a text and I'll add you to the group, because it's so important.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not necessarily everything doesn't have to involve you. I suppose as the group develops, Molly, different people in different areas that have sort of similar, you know, life patterns can hook up themselves as well. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be everyone all at the one time.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of like the whole point of it. So people can kind of meet other people that has similar interests and stuff. Just kind of see where we go. Some people would rather meet one-on-one, and some people would rather meet in groups. So I'm trying to kind of like figure a way that kind of suits everybody.
Yeah. And I think that will figure itself out with your guidance as well. So Molly, if anyone is interested, and you know what, maybe there's women in their 30s or 40s or 50s, maybe there's fellas as well that think, right, we could do that as well. But we're speaking to, what's the age category of women that you're reaching out to? And this is not to exclude any women, but the idea is that you make friends that you're, you know, you can relate to, right? So what is the criteria, if you could put it so crudely, and how do people sort of get in touch with you to express an interest?
Normally through WhatsApp, but like maybe
your TikTok best, but your TikTok might be best then. So maybe to drop your DM on TikTok.
Yeah.
Right. And are you on as Molly Callahan?
Molly Kala X. So okay. There's no N, instead of the N, it's just an X.
Wow, okay. all right, Molly Kala X, which I like. All right, and people can find you that way. All right, and the people you're talking to today are probably on that platform as well, and they can check out your videos, because it sounds to me like, you know, you're very relatable in terms of what people are feeling and what they might be going through. And I think it's a great thing you're doing, Molly, and I really appreciate you coming on. And I didn't think you were backward, and I think you were very open and very talkative.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care, Molly. Thanks very much. That is Molly Callahan. Check her out on TikTok, Molly Callahex. So it's Callahan, but the N's and X. And check out her videos and send her a DM if you are a woman in your 20s, young mums, single people, couples, whatever. She'll be more than happy to add you in there if you match the criteria. So you can imagine it has to be a sort of kind of specific type of a thing. All right, then, let's take a break. We'll be talking about the Bumblance very, very shortly. The Bumblance and everyone behind it and involved in it often, to me, were the unsung heroes, but they're being sung quite a lot lately, which is great. We're learning more about it. Brian Connolly, CEO of Bumblance. And I was saying, Brian, there, you know, it's great that more and more people now know the work that Bumblance do and the fantastic work they do. And it's often because of people who've used the service screaming from the rooftops the difference it's made to them.
Yeah, that is correct. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me on. Bumblance, the popularity of the service has improved dramatically over the years, particularly over the last 3 or so years, where the demand for Bumblance services has skyrocketed, really. And you're right, it's correct, down to the fact that through word of mouth and through the service users using our services, parents, etc., making people know that the service is available.
Talk to us about the origins of it, because it is a first of its kind.
It is, yeah. The service was commenced 11 years ago in Tralee, County Kerry, and it was founded by parents who lived firsthand and knew firsthand trauma and the difficulty of having to deal with sick children and how logistically difficult it was to get those children to Dublin for regular treatment. So really, that's where it started. Started with one vehicle, and we, 10 years, 11 years later, we're now at 16 vehicles, and we travel the length and breadth of Ireland, bringing children, sick children, to mainly Temple Street and Crumlin hospitals for treatment. And this service is available to sick children and even to children who have logistic difficulties getting to and from hospital. We're Ireland's only dedicated children's ambulance service, and we do this free of charge, and we provide this service. It's a stress-free, anxiety-free, and, as I say, a cost-free service. And each child then enters a different world when they get at the back of one of our ambulances. It's like they're specially adapted entertainment system centres for the children. So they arrive for their treatment in a relaxed and stress-free manner, and also the parents. So it's a double whammy.
Yeah, and it's one of those services that is superb, but it makes a very difficult situation for parents and guardians and the child themselves that little bit more tolerable, a little bit more manageable. And the value of that, and you hear it from, listen, I know Lee Gooch personally, and I know how passionate he is about Bumblance, and I know the difference Bumblance made to his family's life, and that's replicated across the county and across the country.
Yes, it is absolutely sure. We believe that it's part of a complementary service that we provide, although it's not clinically recognised. But we think that when the children arrive for their treatment, could be chemotherapy or even a procedure, that they're in a state of mind that helps them recover better. And obviously the parents, when they arrive and their child is stress-free and you know, the treatment can proceed in an efficient manner.
Yeah, indeed. How is Bumblance funded, Brian?
We are funded entirely by fundraising events and the general public and a number of corporate partners that we have. Every penny that we get has to be, we have to go out and source. We don't receive any government funding for our operation. So we fundraise all around the country. And I just, to have the opportunity to say a big thank you to the people of Donegal who have been massive supporters of Bumblance over the years, probably the best in the country.
And, you know, there's a logic to that, Brian, because we are so far removed from, you know, the essential health services for our children. And so Correct. It kind of matches, doesn't it, that we would understand, maybe more so than others, how amazing Yes. this service is.
Yes, it's amazing, really, because every year we have events such as tractor runs, barn dances, we have bed pushes, we've had the bear run twice, which has been brilliant. And we would estimate that close on 400,000 has been collected in Donegal alone since 2022. And that's a massive thank you from us to everybody in Donegal and all your listeners who've supported us through the years. And, you know, we do need that support because we don't get any funding other than through those events and as I said, through the corporate partners that we have and individual giving.
The Angel Trips, or the Angel Yes. Trip, talk to me about that.
Well, these are trips. Thankfully, we don't do a huge number of them, but maybe we would have 12 to 15 a year. And these are special trips that we put on for where the child has reached the end of its medical treatment and there is no other there's no hope really in terms of getting better. So we would put on a special trip to take that child home so they can spend a final journey. It's a final journey at home with their parents. And it's a sad occasion. But we do it, our drivers are expertly trained in terms of how to manage such a situation. It's a traumatic situation. But we would have, I think we're nearly at 120 children who have used our service, who have passed away. And we have, each one of those children is remembered in a number of ways. In the charity, we have a little, what we call a coin box with every child's name is in it. And every year we hold a climb, it's called the High Spirits Climb, and while it is a fundraiser for the charity, the whole focus of the climb is to remember those 100 or so children who have passed away who used our services and the Angel Trips.
A word about the staff, the drivers, where did they come Yes. from? How did they get involved? What's their background? Are they from all different backgrounds or do you see a trend in the type of people that step forward?
Yeah, mainly the all our drivers are experienced ex-ambulance fire brigade drivers, with one or two exceptions. Every one of them would have had some sort of training in terms of fire brigade, ambulance, military even, and they all have the drivers are the heart of the charity. Mm. These are amazing guys, and they each one of them will have a bond with the children that they particularly the regular users of the service, and they are amazing. We have our driver Kieran Feeney, and he's a dedicated driver for the Donegal service, and he would drive probably three children a week to Dublin for treatment, and Kieran is in that mold.
Yeah, so it's, as I say, it's one of those, I think you could have this conversation in a different county, Brian, and a lot of people would be learning some information for the first time, I think because of our geographical location, and Yes. we talk about Bumbleance regularly on this programme, and we've got people that work here that advocate so strongly for it. There's a greater knowledge, but it's still very important to hear about the work. It is completely funded through public generosity and corporate sponsors. Is there one main one that supports Bumbleance? I just want to make sure that anyone who deserves credit gets credit.
Yeah, well, we have our principal corporate sponsor is Peninsula HR, and they have sponsored us for the last 2 years, and they have been brilliant. In terms of Donegal, while I hate to mention anybody in particular because we've had so many, but we have been the main sponsor of the Bear Run 74 for this year, collected €53,000 for us, and we were also involved with the Bear Run in 2023. That's amazing. These are amazing people.
They are. They're fantastic people, and they're unassuming as well.
Oh yes.
They are completely absolutely unassuming, and they are almost in the shadows. The events aren't, obviously, but the people yes. behind it and the work that they do in the shadows sounds a little bit sneaky. But then what yes. I'm trying to say is they're not there for any personal gain. They're there to support absolutely. It, is what I'm saying.
Every time. Yeah. I've since I joined Bumblins, I've been in Donegal so many occasions for Czech presentations to say thank you to people in pubs and clubs, in forecourts of garages, et cetera, it's just fantastic. And it's from Bumblin's point of view, we just can't be thankful enough to the people of Donegal.
Yep, and we can't be thankful enough to the people of the Bumblins, and I mean that. I'm not just saying
thank
it.
You.
Listen, Brian, people can get more information from bumblins.com.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, the services, the information, but also donation options as well, or just support some of the great events that you see popping up around the county over the year. Thank you so much for your time, and all of you. What you do is amazing, and keep it up. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Greg. Cheers.
All right, Brian Conlon there, CEO of Bumblins. Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. I haven't been lonely today. Oshin Kelly spent most of the day here in the room chatting to guests. Hi, Oshin.
Hi.
And he's chatting to Chris, because Chris Ashmore was here, and we haven't had a chance to catch up with Chris, neither has Oshin, since his Hollybobs. Can you talk about it, or are you afraid that you might come across as too rich and too comfortable in life?
Nothing wrong with getting a bit of vitamin D, Greg.
Yeah, you were in Lanzo.
I was in Lanzarote.
What's it like there? Are we still as welcome tourists as we once were? Because obviously there was protests down there, and I wonder what it's like now.
Yeah, the last time I saw the stats in Lanzarote, Irish tourists, 440,000 visits a year. Yeah. So it is right up there in terms of popular places. Now, interestingly, it is a year-round destination.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Last year was the first time I'd ever been there in August. And to be honest, in my mind, I thought August, very hot, crowded, mm-hmm. more expensive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there, let's face it, there's more children around the pool a little bit more hectic and that sort of thing. But I went out last year in August at short notice, got a good deal. And if you go after about the 20th of August, the English school children go back a little bit earlier, the ones in the UK, and the prices drop and it gets a bit quieter. And it's actually a really nice time of year to go. It was very windy now.
You don't mind if there's a bit
exactly.
Of
so it was 28, 29 every day.
It's not like it's sand everywhere because it's sort of volcanic sand, isn't it? But right. You got no sense of anti-tourist sentiment.
No, not at all. And actually went around the island a bit.
Did you go north of the island?
Yes,
what was that like?
North. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's good to get out away from
Which of the centres did you stay in? Pleiades.
Well, just on the outskirts of Puerto del Carmen, Matagorda, just beside the airport. Yeah. But like so many places around Europe, they have a housing crisis out there.
Well, and that's what it is, yeah, of course.
Their housing crisis is partly because there are a lot of tourists and a lot of places rented out and a lot of people who own property, and then that means there's less. So they have issues there, and prices have gone up.
Really love to get out at some point. We don't have Hudson's passport, though, and I was so close to having the passport. But I went to a Garda station that is not open all of the time, and the passport office tried to ring the station 3 times, and that would have been it. I'd have it in my greasy little mitts now, because I think October would be lovely out there.
October is a lovely month.
Yeah, because it'd be about 22,
it's
23.
Still very pleasant. And the water is still, it's pretty much at its peak. It's only just starting to change.
Yeah, exactly, but I'm not too pushed about seawater. You know what I mean? So I'm not a big... It's funny, you'll find me far more likely on Merva Beach or Downing's Beach than you would find me on a beach out foreign, because I just think you try and get on with your day in the sand everywhere, right? But anyway, listen, that's by the by. That's a distraction. I wonder what the turnaround on a new application for Charles' passport is.
Well, the last time I renewed and...
Yeah, but yours is... Like, you get yours in 2 days.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. I did it online. Mm. And in fact, I did it in the morning. The next day, I had my passport. Credit where credit's due.
The simple renewals are fine. But obviously, for child protection purposes, you've got Garda forms and everything. But if you're doing that, please, folks, go to a 24-hour Garda station, and I don't think it's cheeky to ask if the guard's going on holidays anytime soon.
Yeah.
Because if they don't get the guard, you're back to square one. Anyway, bit of travel advice there. And actually, quite interestingly, you used your trip over there for content, which I think is great. Mm. But let's get to some news. The Irish IBEC have been opining.
Yes, now IBEC, it's the group that represents Irish businesses. They've just carried out some research about employee attitudes towards the use of AI. And they found out that 40% of employees reported using AI in their workforce tasks, and that compared with just 19% more or less for the same time last year. So it just goes to show more and more of us are beginning to use AI in some shape or form for helping us at work. And they found that it is 80% said AI is improving productivity, and 75% said it allows them to focus more on other aspects of their role. Look,
AI has absolutely got crazy now, how advanced it is. I'm going to do an experiment here whilst we're here. So I'm going to take a photo of you, right, for the crack. Oh, no, that's a selfie. I hate when that happens. So I'm going to take a photo of you, Chris, here, right? There
take
you go.
Take off the glasses, will you?
No, leave the glasses on, right? So that's the photo I've taken of Chris. Okay, now, you are... What football team do you support?
Arsenal.
Who would be your arch nemesis? Football-wise.
Well, let's just say...
No, just say it. Go on.
Spurs.
In a... Spurs, will they know what Spurs is?
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, Tottenham. Why couldn't you go Tottenham? Oh, Spurs shirt, right, okay. All right, sorry, this is not making great radio, but let's see. So we'll get to some more news. Now, this is the fun side of AI, but this is Gemini, which anyone is able to access. But just to give you an idea of how effective it is, it's on, what, just a sec, it's trying to find one. Right, now... You can't tell me that you would know that that is AI.
I cannot. And unfortunately, that is a horrific photo to look at.
No. But look at that.
It's incredible. In a couple of seconds.
Now, there is no... it's got the wrinkles on the sleeves. It's got absolutely everything. It's followed the contours of your body. I'm telling you right now, it's gone from that there, Chris, and people watching. It's gone from that where he's sitting in a delightful blue shirt. And it's gone in seconds to the exact same picture, but he's in a Spurs shirt. And I'll tell you,
that's the first ever.
That is indistinguishable from the truth. You can zoom in as close to that as you like. It has the exact same contours. Look at the creases on the sleeves, Chris. Look.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Look, that's the level of detail. There is
it medium or large?
It fits you perfectly. I ain't saying nothing, right? I know what you're getting at, sunshine. Right. So
meanwhile,
lots of people are using AI. I think a lot of people in companies are using AI. And I think what IBEC are saying is that the companies need to catch up actually with what's happening in real life. Karen Donner.
Now, Cardona, they are having a special pop-up event. It's taking place this Saturday at the Garden Centre on the Moss Road, and it's part of the Spree August Sports Circular Economy Initiative down there. So, look, this is a chance for people to essentially... I suppose, refresh their wardrobes and also help the planet. So you can expect if you go along there, there'll be lots of, as they call it nowadays, Greg, pre-loved fashion. And you can swap things. There's live demonstrations and this latest pop-up. This is the second one that they've done this year. It also includes hands-on repair and upcycling tips. So there's people there who can tell you how you can maybe get more life out of
something. Well, something changed a couple of years ago, and I'm not being sexist. It's just if you go to an event, guys wear suits or tux, right? So, we all look the same. We all look like penguins or something. But girls obviously have more. Now, we have some amazingly flamboyant fellas, don't get me wrong. But there was a tipping point whereby it went from how expensive and fancy your dress looked to... You wouldn't believe I got this for a fiver. Yeah. So people were, and they look fantastic and they're beautiful dresses, don't get me wrong. But I remember around tables where we sort of went from, oh yeah, I got this from such and such. And the flex was that you got it from a, you know, a big store. And then it changed where the flex was, that you, the person still looks amazing, but they actually managed to use the sort of circular fashion and everything too, which I think is great.
There's a real feel-good factor. If you got something at a bargain price, you think, hey, I did well on this. Yeah, and it's certainly on the increase, so well done to all in Cardona on that.
Yeah, we have to be ultra conscious of our cyber security and openness to fraud. There's an event to help with that.
Yeah, now this is a bit of advance notice, but just to plant the seed, AIB in collaboration with An Garda Síochána, well, they're organising a cyber security and fraud awareness session. It's not on until the 9th of October here in Letterkenny, but you can contact Letterkenny Chamber to register. They're going to go through all sorts of things, from emerging cyber threats to phishing and various scams that are out there, and practical steps that you can take to reduce the risks. So there'll be some experts there, and look, this is going to be of interest pretty much to everybody.
Well, if I was a business owner, I'd be sending someone to that to come back then and disseminate the information or spread it out, if that's what that word means. Donegal Women in Business, they're always busy with events.
Yes, we're at that time of year now. There's going to be plenty of events coming up. And this is back to our good new friend, AI Greg, because on the 25th of September in the Century Cinema Complex in Letterkenny, they're having an event, an information event all about AI. Dr. Carla Ruitz, who's a co-founder of Crintus and Company, which is a Donegal-based digital agency. She'll be the special guest, and you can find out more about that, and especially on the marketing and branding side of things, and it can be a huge help to business.
All right, so Chris was out in Lanzarote. He spoke to someone out there, a business person with Donegal Links. I'll give you the ad break to see if you can guess who that might be. Right, Chris, what was I going to say to you? Okay, the podcast, by the way, we're going to talk about that now. It's going to be live for you to listen to from tomorrow. Chris has just a little bit of editing to do because he's not long off the plane. So the podcast for Sunday, which will be broadcast on Sunday, is going to be available on our website tomorrow. So who is your guest, Christopher?
Well, Kilcar, singer, songwriter, businessman, Rory Gallagher. Of course, many familiar with him. He had a number of hits in his youth with The Revs, a great band. He subsequently based himself
I'm so blue, I'm living in a room with a photograph of you, I am.
Very good.
That's actually, The Revs had a lot of good songs.
They did. They
like
did.
Proper songs.
They did. They were. They and he toured extensively with them, some great times. And then he subsequently based himself in Lanzarote for a number of years. He opened up a highly successful bar with live music. And many, of course, will know him from Jimmy's Winning Matches fame. And then sometime later, he went to Edinburgh. He got married, and that coincided when he went to Edinburgh to open up a new bar there with his wife, Cara. COVID came along, and it really couldn't have happened at a worse time. Mm-hmm. And there they were, all set to go. COVID hit, so total change of tack. And now he did a lot online, which had kept his profile up. And so a couple of years ago, they had to make a decision what they were going to do. So they went back to Lanzarote. So he went back with Cara and his children. They have a couple of boys. They knew the island well. They knew the business model and what would work, with live music being a part of it. And they now have three bars in the resort of Puerto del Carmen. And I think we have a clip here. And he talks about the three bars that he now operates along with his wife, Cara.
We opened up a small bar, which is a kind of dipping our toes in the water, called Rory's Corner Bar. And I played there once or twice, and it was carnage. The place holds about 48, and I think 148 showed up. So it was just got really out of hand, and the police were called. And we were like, you know what? The potential is there, but the bar's not right. So the Viking came up. We were like, okay, we can do this. So we had the Viking. And the problem with the Viking is it's kind of like an old shebeen, where it's broken into three or four sections, and we thought we'd be able to toss a wall, but we were told by the council we couldn't, so we couldn't toss any walls. So we went, okay, so we still had to keep looking. So the Viking is still running away as itself, and it's going fine. It's a great small live music venue and Gaelic football and all that. But we took another place with a bigger lounge, and that is now Rory's Live Lounge. So that's where I am at the moment.
And that's in Puerto del Carmen.
Yes, we have three places now by mistake. We have the Irish Viking, we have Rory's Corner Bar and Rory's Live Lounge. They're all in Puerto del Carmen and they're all tipping away nicely, thank God.
So you're becoming a multinational.
a multi-stress head.
Yeah, it's an interesting story because I'm sure he's like many. Is he living at work or is he working from home? Do you know, because when you are the face of a business, people expect to see that face and they expect you on. You have to be on all the time.
People are going out there for maybe a week or 2 weeks and he pretty much plays six nights a week on stage, but he has to sort of have his off moments as well. And as he said to me, it's mentioned during the programme, that, you know, he could get bad news from back here in Donegal at tea time, and yet he's up on stage that evening and, you know, he has to present himself. Yeah, yeah, people are in holiday mood, but...
People expect his or any person that performs abroad, and many people do, or works abroad, the public are up to high dough because they're so excited. It's day one or day two or day three of their holiday, and I think they expect everyone around them to be aligned with their buzz.
Exactly. And then he has to have his own time off and sort of get away from it and unwind with the kids. And, you know, it's interesting. He was talking about how things have changed since he was sort of first out there and the first bar back in 2016 or so. And now so much is on. People are tapping their cards. And he says even the audience, the attention span of a lot of people because of TikTok and things, you know, you're playing maybe shorter sets, more shorter songs and things. But of course, he is... quite a noted songwriter, and he's constantly coming up with new material.
I wonder what his relationship with Jimmy's winning matches is like. I mean, you know, I don't know as an artist where he's at, whether he's happy just to sort of, you know, that to be the principal part of his catalogue, though there are lots of great songs there, or if it's a burden. I mean, something that, you know, gives you a platform and prosperity, hopefully he makes money off it, is not necessarily a burden. But if you have sort of... your artistic taste buds going, it can feel like it maybe, I don't know. But that's for a different podcast. Maybe that's for Monday Night Sessions or something. But the business thing is interesting. I think the whole trip to Edinburgh, the devastation of that and bouncing back from that, and then the family decisions that have to be made. Because, you know, whilst life in Lanzarote might seem like perfect... you're there for a while and then it becomes home and then the bills come and then the, you know what I mean? And it's all, there's a, all right, it's fascinating. I'm going to listen to that interview on the podcast tomorrow. It's a digital first show, the Business Matters. And then on Sunday, it's broadcast, Chris.
Yes, on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news, Greg.
And if anyone wants to make contact with you.
Best way is the email.
Preferably if you're in a pub in Dubai, Chicago.
I wish.
Chris will travel to any bar. Did you get a free pint off him?
Well, we did. No, we met at a neutral location.
On neutral ground.
So
was it a bar?
It was a cocktail bar, but
did
it was
he buy
in the
you
morning.
A pint?
No, we were drinking coffees. Yeah.
Great. Fine.
Yeah. Great looking out at the sun on the sea. Yeah, it was great.
All right. Great stuff, Chris. Great. Thanks so much
for
calling in. I do appreciate it. Chris Ashmore there with Business Matters and a wide ranging chat. We appreciate Chris's time. Just to let you know, a little bit different. The podcast is a digital first show, of course. The podcast available tomorrow on the website. A caller says there are people applying to be president like they've just seen it advertised as a fast scheme. It's becoming ridiculous indeed. But isn't that, you see, conversely, you'll get people that will say that, you know, it seems to be only for the elites and the political elites and what have you. But people are throwing the hat in the ring and saying, you know, I would like the support of councils. Independents on councils still have a great deal of power. I think Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin, their votes are going to be tied up. But there's an awful lot of people on county councils around the country that maybe could get someone onto the ballot paper. Good morning, Greg. You're a bit about cyclists. As an avid cyclist myself, I don't condone cycling three or four abreast. The club I'm with frown upon it, but the law says you can legally cycle two abreast in the width of the carriage. Hard shoulder to the white line. Also, there's no cycle paths in Donegal. There's a shared space greenways, which have a speed limit on, and are there if the cyclist chooses to. It's not the law to use them. Really wish folk would understand this, as I've personally had bottles and been spat at on the Muff to Maville Road for nothing, for not using it. That is completely disrespectful. And, you know, there's one thing us having a chat about it. To be doing that to your fellow citizen, your potentially your neighbour, your I don't know. I don't understand that. But anyway, look, I get you. And I did say a little earlier on, I don't see professional cyclists, you know, cyclists on the certain type of cycle bikes using the cycle lanes, because as you quite rightly pointed out, they're for cyclists, pushing buggies and what have you. I didn't know there was a speed limit on them, though. So there you are. That is the future. Cycle lanes with cyclists, parts of clubs and such using the roads still. And I do understand there's lots of things, though, that we are allowed to do on the roads that we don't do. Right, that is where we leave it on the show for today. I'm going to be broadcasting live for Ironmore Island tomorrow. I'm going to be coming in on Lee Gucci's show and coming in on Donald's show as well. He'll be presenting this show. And it really is all to promote and support Cancer Care West Donegal, because we're going over there to take part in the Camino, and you've been so generous. Please keep your donations coming in. You can get the links to the iDonate page on my Facebook page or Highland Hub. Also, you can ring us on 07491 25000, though that doesn't really suit after 12, or we can continue doing that, yeah, and we can help you out there. Or if you've got cash and you want to drop it in, please do. Did we get anyone for the secret sound from Aaron Moore? Don't say no. We did. Yay, so that's going to be fun. Chat to you tomorrow, everyone.